Hello and welcome to Side Dish, your podcast about Longmont. Everything that you want to know and very little that you need to know. I am your host, Brady Steffel, joined on my left today, which is odd for me, by...
Annie Larner.
There she is. And on my right today...
Chef Larry, owner and partner of Red Cedar Bistro, new restaurant in Longmont.
This is super exciting. He was showing me the menu off air, and we have some Mediterranean food coming, and I'm actually pretty jazzed. Like, so he's got all kinds of...
Mediterranean is a misunderstood cuisine for sure.
Right. Everyone's like, gyros.
Yeah, that's all they think of. We call ourselves a tri-regional Mediterranean. So the Mediterranean is based on three regions, Southern Europe, North Africa, and Eastern Mediterranean, like the Levant, which is a cool story if you don't know what Levant means. But
sweet. Well, welcome, Chef Larry. We're going to get into your restaurant and what's coming on the horizon. So we're happy you're here and welcome to Longmont. We'll get into your story. We kind of previewed you like a couple weeks ago, I think, when we mentioned
Was it good?
The buzz is going around, basically. I think there was an article in the Eatery today, Denver Eater or whatever, and I've seen people on, we've talked about subreddit's been talking about it, and I've had some threads with people around town. They're like, hey, did you see this new restaurant? So word's getting around.
Yeah, genuinely jazzed about that. So we'll get into a little bit more of that. First, we're going to take a little run around town, see what's going on.
And before that even, are going to mention we have a live recording of our podcast coming up on...
Don't even know, do you? I've been asking. My brother's been asking me. I've been trying to figure this out.
See, you don't even know because you don't know for your brother?
Just make up a date.
Okay. We will be at Dryland Distillery for a live recording on April 4th at 5:30. It's official. And note that that is their cocktail development day.
Ooh.
I don't really know what that means, but it sounds super exciting.
No, it's great.
So come on down. We will be recording live, and we're going to be inviting a bunch of our previous guests on. So, Chef Larry, you'll officially be a former guest, so you're invited as well.
100%.
April 4th.
I don't drink.
You don't? Okay. Well, they can make mocktails. These guys can make all the things.
Okay.
Yeah, well, they probably make like killer mocktails.
Maybe I'll steal the recipe.
That's right. There you go.
So the whatever it's called, the drink tester day?
Cocktail development day.
That's much nicer name for it. what they do is they like... They come up with ideas, and then they pilot them, and then they revisit them, and they workshop them, and they do that on one night.
Right.
And you can go there and experience that and offer feedback in situ, and then they'll be like, try this one. So maybe have a DD or whatever, but
boom,
you can wind up. So it's actually a lot of fun.
So if you don't want to come listen to us, at least show up for the cocktail development.
100%. It's a very cool. Right. Yeah, I enjoy that a lot.
So, okay, sweet. Yeah. Come on down.
Yeah. All right.
What else you got? What's going on?
What do we got? So we have – oh, I'm on my phone tonight. So there's a new salon coming downtown or is downtown. I don't know about this.
The Barbie one?
Not Barbie. It's made – I think it's Madame Salon.
Where? Like hair salon?
Yeah, hair salon. Oh. 459 Main Street. Yeah. So I'm not exactly sure. I'm trying to figure this out. I found this – the LDDA had this on their Facebook. Master stylist Selena Miller has been helping people feel like the best stylist for over 10 years long in my community. She decided to make
That's the old barbershop, Deluxe Barbershop.
There you go. So she's taken that over, or has taken that over.
Nice.
Yeah. And so they're doing that, and she's taking new clients. So you can find that at 459 Main. It looks cute on the inside.
Huh. I wonder where she was formerly. That's awesome.
Yeah, I missed that, but it was, you know, it's a Facebook post.
Okay. Should we mention the Barbie one? Because we haven't talked about that one.
You want to talk about that now?
Barbie? I don't know. Barbie Lash and Nails. Barbie Lash and Nails also opened north of 9th and Main in case you need a place to get your lash and nails done.
Barbie. There you go.
Okay.
I mean, it's yeah.
Okay.
If you like that kind of thing, I don't need it.
Not for you.
Yeah, it's not
not for Larry, not for Brady.
Yeah, we'll be fine.
I'd look good for my customers that way.
Right. Yeah.
All right. What else
you got? I just rely on my rugged good looks. Cafe Lunata changed ownership. Yeah, so they said they had a pretty good run. A little Facebook post, a couple nice photos. They did a farewell thing. But yeah, they said they got an offer that's, I didn't say too good to refuse because that's got implications, but they said they had a, you've seen the movie, you get it. It's a good one. Go watch Godfather. But if you have a, you know, so come by, but they said they were made an offer and it was just, it was a good offer. And they said it was good for them. So they, after 12 years, have decided to.
And so, sorry, how long have they been in business?
12 years is what they said.
No way. Where were they before? There's no way they were in 12. 12?
After 12 years.
Because Chubburger was there with.
Wasn't the exact spot at Chubburger, though, was it?
Yeah, totally.
No, it couldn't have been because Chubburger was open when I was here.
Right.
And I haven't been here more than 10
I thought Cafe Luna was in the same place where Chubburger is.
I don't think so. But I'm not good with that type of thing. I got holes in my brain. This is known. but anyway, they said, yeah, they so long and thanks for all the fish. Everything seemed very positive.
Okay.
Another movie
congratulations
reference.
Congratulations to them.
Book reference. Yeah, congratulations to them. Then we've got, you got anything else?
I was going to mention grand opening this weekend of Buc-ee's.
So that happened.
That's how excited we are. Mm. Larry's really stoked.
Trying not to say anything. I sound too negative.
It's all right.
Well, but Larry's all about keeping it local, you know?
Yes, that's so it.
That's what he's trying to say.
Local energy.
Part of the evil empire.
Well, they're supposed to in biggest Buc-ee's in the world. I mean, that's a claim to fame now that Longmont has that probably some of Longmont's excited about. Now, is it actually – is it Longmont, city of Longmont?
I don't know exactly where this is. Up north?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or is it going to be
wasn't there a great Meg Ryan movie about that?
What?
About, you know, big corporation book place. You've got mail, isn't that what it is?
Yeah. It's yeah, a like – but isn't that Julia
– a big monster bookstore that comes in across the street from a cute little bookstore.
I feel like they're
– Tom Hanks.
I feel like you're like – conflating a few different rom-coms.
No, it's Tom Hanks and
what's the one
Meg
Notting
Ryan.
Hill? That's what I'm thinking of. That's similar. It's like the real. Same moving. Notting Hill has Julie Roberts and Hugh Grant. That's right.
I've never seen it.
And he's got the
reason.
Like local bookstore and it's like
you
probably
got
the
mails
same
based on an old book. There was an old movie about it too. It was like a – what's the name of that mega bookstore that sells coffee and espresso and
Barnes & Noble?
Basically everything in their bookstores now.
What's the other one that was like the Barnes & Noble competitor that's around forever? We had one in Longmont.
Kind of like
I
that. They
it.
Moved in New York across from her business and her business was an old bookstore. It had all these great old customers and stuff like that. And the new one's putting her out of business and they fall in love and, you know.
Yeah, they were super far apart. This is like so tangential now. We're just like way off. The train is off the rails. We're rolling around in the ditch. But yeah, it's got Tom Hanks and then the kid, I think it's the new days of email. And he's like, oh, it's like 30 states away. And I must have seen.
That's not You Got Mail. That's the one with the Empire State
There's
Building.
Too many just similar ones.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Whatever.
Whatever.
Okay. So Colorado is set to ban occupancy limits for unrelated people. So that whole thing's coming through. I'm just
for unrelated people. No, I'm nodding. I'm rolling my eyes at that news headline.
Yeah, well, it's like, what the Boulder's got the thing.
But I don't get here. They're trying to promote density in all these different ways, but then they limit that kind of like that NIMBY stuff.
Well, yeah, they're saying you can't be.
They don't want you to roommate up, and so they're not allowing that. But then they're like, oh, we'll override your zoning and put multifamily in this like medium density residential unit. It's just funny. I just find it a little like. You know, it flies in the face.
Yeah. So the state is going to pass things that says you can't have the limits on unrelated people. That's the state saying.
Oh, okay. Never mind. That is congruent. I was thinking it was the opposite, that they were going to ban cities from being able to ban that.
No. So they're saying cities can't put that sort of limit on.
Okay. So this is okay.
So
that is a move towards density.
It's the bedrooms for people thing. They've got a big thing, and I guess that's the state's set to push that through. So that's actually kind of an interesting thing. I just mentioning I don't have a weigh in on the politics of
fascinating.
That. Yeah, right. Well, as long as you're on board, that's what we're here for. Public safety. Now, this was good news about Next Light. There's been a bunch of articles.
Oh, yeah. Next Light is expanding beyond Longmont now. Mm-hmm. They're going out to some rural areas and expanding their service. They've kind of like conquered Longmont and now they're moving on, which I get. Like, I want Next Light to stay in business and be busy and not just be dealing with like service upgrades. And I have to shout out Longmont Power and Communications this weekend. We, we were out at the local drive. Super fun. Again, love that place. The golf simulator.
Oh, the golf simulator place.
And we got home and the babysitter and the kids were up because the house lights were flickering. But it wasn't just the house. It was the whole power. Like power up, power down, power up, power. Mm. It was like whole house. Really weird. And they were like, this is kind of weird. And she knew we were on our way home. Well, anyway, we started looking into it. Went out to the breaker and my husband kind of followed the outside and went out and our power line was on fire.
Yeah.
Like there was, it wasn't huge. It was like a flame, but up where the power service line meets the pole was on fire. And so we were flickering our neighbor and then two doors down.
As you would. Yeah.
Yeah. So we called fire department first and they came and, they were like, kill the power. So we killed the power. And once we killed the power and there wasn't current running, it was the flame kind of like sort of died down on its own.
Creepers.
Super sketchy. And so the fire department didn't end up having to like mitigate, but they hung out for a while. And then like 20 minutes later, Longmont Power Communications was there on site. And this guy was just a whippersnapper. He dealt with the situation and climbed the pole, you know, and when like covered it with a bunch of lead. And there was basically just shortage. And so it caught fire and covered it with tape. And we actually happened to be changing that service line here coming up soon anyway. So we were able to kind of just come up with a plan to mitigate it for a bit. But, you know, it was a Saturday night. It was like 10 o'clock, 10:30, and fire was there immediately, and LPC was there like shortly thereafter. And so I was really impressed with their responsiveness.
Like a knight in shining armor.
He was. I was just, you know, I was like, once again, thank you for not being Excel in Longmont. That's all.
Yeah. I think that the city largely does quite well. I'm overall quite happy. And if we're grousing about traffic, parking, and the occasional like it's good problems to have. Cyclops is closing.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
For really real.
That was a long run.
It was a long run, yeah.
Wow, so no more queues and then Cycle Hops closing.
Cycle Hops. Right there. Cyclops, Cycle Hops. Yeah. Wow. And I had it, again, I'm not logged into anything because I'm on my phone today. But yeah, I had the whole post on my my Blue Sky thing. But yeah, they're closing. They had a message on Facebook, I think, saying, to our friends, employees, guests, Cyclops, if you already heard the news, but humble gratitude, heavy heart, we announced closing of Cyclops. And
they didn't say why.
I don't remember.
Is that the bicycle shop that was next to that restaurant that closed?
Yeah. Well, it's at Nelson and Airport, and it's both a bicycle shop, sort of, and a restaurant.
Yeah,
it's
isn't like there like a big restaurant around the corner that has closed that was up for sale for a while?
Oh, see, you know all the restaurant sales. I don't know.
Yeah, you showed me that one.
No, it wasn't that
you
one.
You told me about it, but it was really expensive. It was like $10,000 a month or something.
In Longmont?
Yeah.
I don't remember that. No, yeah. It wasn't that one, whatever that is.
Okay.
This one's out at Nelson and Airport. Huh, interesting.
Yeah, and it was like when we moved here, it was one of the first cool places that we found to go to.
Yeah, Cycle Hops has been great.
And I liked it. I thought it was cool vibes. The reviews, like the post-mortem kind of, it was really mixed depending on where you were. Oh, it wasn't so good. Oh, I love that place. I don't know. Like, I think there's just a stiff competition now. I think there's a lot of wonderful places opening very across town.
Right.
So you don't need to go to
landlords can be tough these days too.
So yeah,
the per square foot prices are going up. The taxes have clobbered. Annie and I talked about that at Ludlam. I mean, the taxes have clobbered people. We really gotta watch out what
keep
we're doing.
To,
again, local business.
Yeah,
the only who's going to be able to afford to move in if it keeps going is monster, you know, like what Boulder
credit
turned
tenants,
into.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, from this quaint little town with all these mom and pop shops to, you know, I grew up in a town called Westport, Connecticut. And same thing, just beautiful little town along the coast of Connecticut. You know, real savvy, a lot of quality owners doing their thing. And you go back there 15 years later and it's all like Saks Fifth Avenue and it's all these big, you know, extremely expensive stores. And it's just the way it goes. I mean,
right.
You got to keep it in control.
Yeah. Price them out.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else? Because I have one more thing after we
Polos drove through in the train. We did thing last time about Nederland. The world's first cryonics museum finds a perfect home in Estes Park.
Well, is that anything related to how Dead Guy Days is moving?
Because
they're having it again there. Dead Guy Days. Isn't it happening like right now?
I don't actually know.
It's like usually the shoulder
season. It was like a week ago, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I saw it on the news last week.
Yeah. They seem pretty happy there in Estes Park.
Yeah. So it says the International Cryonics Museum's mission is to educate people all walks of life. I'd have to reread this. I posted this like 15 days ago before last week. So
okay, well,
I'm on my phone. It's small.
No, it's fine. I wanted to bring up some listener mail that I don't think we've mentioned. Did we talk about this from the Atomic Goblin?
Oh, yeah, he's a nice guy. I talked to him on Discord for a while. You can go ahead and read it if you want. You got something to say. She's looking at it. I can't see the screen. She's squinting. This makes for really good radio. She's really, really just knocking it out of the park.
I played Dungeons and Dragons. So.
Well, that's, I mean, my brother plays like crazy. Yeah. Loves it. Yeah.
That's what they sell there. Atomic Goblin.
Yeah, Atomic Goblin's got all kinds of great stuff. He reached out to me on Discord, and I had a nice chat with him and whatever.
It's amazing what gaming, from when I was a kid, when everybody said you were some kind of mass murderer hiding in the basement with dark cloaks on. Now you see every walk of life, every people that you know, and tons of people are role-playing games now.
Yeah, it's really become normalized, and the game scene is expanded, yeah.
And I don't have to pretend I'm playing poker anymore. So that was my story. Me and the guy was playing poker for 5 hours yesterday.
Well, Carl tuned into the podcast and he said he accidentally heard his name because we mentioned him. And he said thanks to the Longmont Reddit for the call out. And then he went into a long explanation of how he learned to post on the Reddit because we had that whole conversation with Davide when he came on. And if you'd like the long explanation, we can certainly share it with you. It's pretty funny. And he also had ridden his own motorcycle really fast on the 175. Yeah, blah, blah, blah.
He's really big into motorcycles.
Oh, is he? Yeah. He'd done that too.
A big conversation with him on Discord. Like he and I chatted. I think he wanted to clarify that he's like not trying to break the rules.
And he's totally not. Yeah.
And exactly. I honestly wasn't that worried about that. No. People hear that. I got called up.
That was kind of what Darby said anyway. I mean.
But he's a really nice guy. And he said he's got like thousands and thousands and thousands of miles on his motorcycle.
Oh, wow.
Like
okay.
He's nuts about it. And we talked about that because I used to motorcycle and gaming and because I play a lot of video games.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like lots of video games. So it's being a nerd is normalized. I love it because when I was a kid, I was a big nerd anyway.
Yeah.
And now I don't just get total flame for that. Anyway, that's all the Longmont junk we got.
Yeah.
Let's switch over. Let's talk about.
Role players are the smart nerds, the cool nerds.
I'll tell that to all my friends tonight. Like, apparently we're the losers of the nerds. We're at the bottom.
So, Chef Larry.
Hi.
How did you come to open a restaurant in Longmont, Colorado? Because you're not from here, right?
Well,
you're newish to the front.
Kind of. Yeah. I'm a traveler. I grew up back east in New Jersey, New York, Connecticut, and did a lot of restaurant chefing back there. Got inspired by a French guy named Serge. Mm. You're not allowed to swear on this radio, are you?
I mean,
we keep it
loud.
His favorite quote was, "This is shit."
I'm sure it came out more like, "This is shit."
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yes. So, but he eventually inspired me on Mediterranean cuisine because he was doing a whole region of the entire Mediterranean in his place. So he was doing very authentic, because he's French and from Provence and his parents own taverns and all that. And he inspired me with the cuisine, but his customers didn't relate to the food because a lot of the terminology is very exotic. And a lot of regular people just don't understand what they're getting, even though a lot of the stuff is very similar to what we eat. It's just a little twist to it. You know, beef bourguignon sounds big, flamboyant, sexy, and exotic, but really all it is pot roast with red wine. Mm-hmm. You know, so we moved out of Arizona, my wife and I, and we moved up to the Lakewood area, and we had the opportunity to open Cedar 65 in Evergreen. And we missed the grandkids. We went back to Arizona and opened another restaurant called Twist Bistro in Scottsdale. And that was in the middle of COVID, which you know how that story ends. We won't go there. And then we really missed – we found Colorado much more friendly, you know, much more – we had a lot of friends. More friends missed us from Colorado when we were in Arizona and said hello and how you doing, how's your new business and all that. Where the people from Arizona, when we left, they were like, okay, next.
Well, see ya.
So, you know, we came back and – we were looking for houses in different areas. We looked in Golden at different spots. And we drove through Longmont and Loveland. And I looked over and I saw my wife in tears because she was like, this is so beautiful. And, you know, she was looking at the statues and the art and the little community. And you could see the mountains in the background. But, you know, and it's nice, kind of flat is nice sometimes when you have mountains in the distance. So you don't have to go up and down hills all the time like you do on the west side. And, you know, we just enjoyed it. And then we were just trying to find the right restaurant and the right person. And then, like, again, a knight in shining armor, Annie comes in scintillating and shining with diamonds in her hair and says, I have this great little restaurant, but it's currently up for a deal. And we'll see if it goes in here. You might as well put your name in mm-hmm. and see what happens. And we said, yeah. I was like, let's try it. Let's put the name in the bag. And a few weeks later, I was calling her to check it up. She was like, I was just about to call you. And she said, perfect timing. You know, the other guy backed out. You're the only one in line with an offer in. And it all came together. And it was just – from then on, it seemed unlike the one in Scottsdale where everything was a disaster all the way through. This one so far has been – everything has worked out just right all the way through. So we've always wanted a restaurant in a downtown location. Our previous two restaurants were more out on the fringe where people had to go there just to eat, which was fine. But it's not the same as having people walking by, smelling the food, seeing people dying. My wife does art, so she is part of the art, the artist community here in Longmont. She belongs to the Art Guild, and she always features art on the walls from the local community. Mm. My wife has run art galleries, so she knows how to hang in an art gallery style. We put gallery lights, so it looks really pretty, and it gives people a chance to stare at it and then decide they want to buy it mm-hmm. because they're eating dinner and drinking wine. So we give them more wine. And yeah. then they say, what the hell, I'll spend it on. I'll buy it.
I'm feeling good. I'm liking this. This is great. I really like Mediterranean food, it turns out. And this wine, it's probably, yeah, that's probably not greasing the skids.
I mean, ironically, before we went to Evergreen, we stopped downtown and talked to the, what do you call it, the city board. You know, every town has one.
Yeah, your little downtown development
yeah.
group.
Anyway, we talked to them And we asked about, you know, downtown. They're like, oh, yeah, we need a restaurant like that. And it wasn't to be at that point. But now that we've learned all our lessons and been through highs and lows, we saw the opportunity and we were really excited. So I think it's a perfect addition to some of the great restaurants you have. I think that area of Main Street, like we're on 516 Main Street, mm-hmm. but you have the Roost to the left and you have – Mike Shays to the right, and you have the Rosalie's.
Where Tacos GTO was.
Where Tacos GTO
yeah,
was.
Yeah, where mm-hmm. Rosalie's Pizza is, like almost catty corner across the street, one block down. There's a lot of really great scene down there. There's a lot of great dress shops and salons. That salon you talked about earlier is not that far away either. Mm-hmm. So you just have a really great spot where you can walk, you know, Pump House Breweries right up the road. You have a lot of areas where you can walk around. You know, one of the things we used to like to do when we went to like expensive restaurants, like my wife and I would go to Laramere, you know, area in downtown Denver, and we would get one course at each place. Mm-hmm. So we'd go, you know, to Rioja for appetizers.
Oh,
and
fun.
We'd go to,
that's good, yeah.
Yeah, it was great, you know, and you're not committed to sitting one spot the whole time for us ADD folks, and you know, and it just makes the experience much more interesting. You try all these different foods.
Yeah, I love that. Talk us through your menu, when the doors are open, like what to expect.
Doors are open hopefully by June 1st. There's a lot of iffy stuff with permits and contractors. Anybody who's ever hired one knows they're typically a little slower than you'd like. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're going to build it out. We're cooperating with the owner of the building. She's building a whole new fascia with beautiful kind of semi-rollout windows. And we're doing a big Mediterranean setting inside. We're going to have a copper top bar. We're going to have Mediterranean tile on the front of the bar. We're going to have dark wood flooring. And my wife found these beautiful tabletops that have all these kind of – they look like wood, but there are all kinds of Mediterranean colors in there, like mm-hmm. teal and copper, and then, of course, the art wall. So it's going to be quite the spot. It's going to be cozy. And you have two kind of areas in the restaurant. You have a bar area where you can have a TV and make some noise with your friends. And then we have like an upper dining area where you could take a date and have a nice, you know, quiet experience far away from the rabble-rousers.
Put on
in the
your
bar.
Nice clothes. Bother to –
We'll segregate at the hostess
stand. Bother to get the razor out before you leave the house.
But yeah, food-wise, we're inspired. I mean, I've been a chef my entire life. I've been 35 years I've been a chef, and before that for 5 years I was a dishwasher. So
yep.
I came up through the ranks and worked with a lot of four-star and five-diamond chefs in resorts, L'Auberge de Sedona, Boulders Resort in Sedona, Carefree. I worked in Manhattan, a lot of – French guys and Italian guys yelling at me, telling me I can't cook and that I shouldn't be. You don't know how to make the pasta, you know, on and on.
Are excellent. Yeah. Just like Davide and any French folk, please don't listen. I'm sorry.
Davide's Italian.
But yeah, I know. But he was just, you know, not the pasta thing. Yeah,
it's a love and hate thing. But, you know, I mean, honestly, I admire the cultures a great deal. They're they're very loyal to their cuisines. And, you know, the way their mom and grandma and great-great-grandma made it is the way they make it every time. And that's it's not Italian if you're not doing that. However, we're not in Italy and we're not in Morocco and we're not in France. Right. So I get to break the rules. So one of the fun things about this restaurant is we stick to the inspiration of the idea. You know, we make homemade pasta. We make a real bolognese. But we try and have some fun with it and do some changes. So we're doing a lamb bolognese with a feta cheese over the top. And that's made with homemade pappardelle. You know, we're doing a really fun raviolo. I don't know if you know this, but ravioli is plural in Italian. Raviolo is singular.
Oh, so I didn't know that.
Instead of a plate full of raviolis, you get one big raviolo, like, and it's
mega,
big.
Mega raviolo.
And what's fun is everybody likes burrata, right? You know what that is, right?
Yeah.
Burrata. Love it. It's like that, it's like a mozzarella where you cut it open and creamy, almost like a ricotta cheese inside. Lovely. It's called stracciatella is inside. Anyway.
Oh, can you? Yeah, I've actually not really known. I love burrata, and it's like a cheese surprise, but right. I've never actually known what it is.
Yeah, stracciatella is like a, it's almost like the little pieces of the mozzarella that's kind of whipped up with a little bit of like a cream. So when you cut in, it's mozzarella wrapped around that.
Right.
So yeah, it's like cutting open and this kind of oozes out like a chocolate lava cake kind of thing. And so we're putting a full ball of burrata inside the raviolo with the homemade pasta and then breading it with the gluten-free breadcrumbs and deep frying it, because fried ravioli is a big St. Louis, you know, American thing. So that's taking the heart of Italy and bringing it to America and adding some American fun. Then we're start topping it with the peach chutney, which, you know, in Colorado, peaches are everything. They're so good here.
So we've been on one end of the spectrum. What do you got that's like a little – the lighter touch for people that want something that's healthy?
Well, for one, this I have to say the soup, because it's called Herrera, and it's like a spectacular soup. We call it Moroccan festival soup because it's often shared after Ramadan. And it's a totally vegan vegetarian soup that made with chickpeas, tomatoes. It almost has a curry-like spiciness to it. It's very fragrant, full of flavored preserved lemons on top. We have some outstanding salads. We have a Mediterranean bowl, which has, you know, homemade green chili white bean hummus. It's got tzatziki sauce. It's got a cucumber, like an Israeli salad, which is like a cucumber tomato relish. It's kind of with lemon and olive oil, lettuce with a green goddess tahini aioli. So, you know, a lot of people just serve tahini. We're adding a little coriander, cilantro, green onions, and whipping that up. So it's got a little more fragrance to it.
Very fresh and vibrant.
Exactly. Yeah. And it gives you, you know, this aromatic that just kind of makes you feel happy. And then, you know, we have a really fun bronzino plate. We were searing the bronzino with a brava sauce and a little aioli.
What's a bronzino?
Bronzino is a Mediterranean sea bass. It's served in Italian. Hey, bronzino. Served in Italian restaurants all the time.
Oh, now I know.
Hey.
Right. Oh, yeah. You pronounce it right.
Seen it on TV, right? So it's, you know, it looks like a trout, but it's sea bass. So it's got a really nice mellow flavor. Mm-hmm. Not quite as gamey as trout is. And it's more of a whiter, you know, pale fish instead of like
They tend to be
Colorado
a bit more
trout's red,
robust.
So that comes out. Brava sauce is a famous Spanish sauce. I don't know if you ever heard of patates brava. Mm-hmm. It's a famous appetizer tapa that they serve with like fried potatoes that are really crisp, and they serve it on the brava sauce with aioli over the top. By the way, that's one of our appetizers as well, and.
I want to eat at this place.
Yeah, it's like, a lot of fun. Yeah. Brava sauce is kind of like a tomato chili sauce from Spain. So it's a lot of Spanish food has chilies in it, but it's not like Mexican or Southwestern food where it's hot chilies. In Spain, the chilies are much more mild and are, you know, that area, the Levant.
It's like flavorful and not as spicy. Calabrian.
And I have to tell you the Levant story. So this is romantic, right? So Levant is an area, a region of the Mediterranean on the eastern side of the Mediterranean. So that encompasses like Israel, Pakistan. What's another one? Help me.
I can't do geography.
You know, Greece, Turkey.
Turkey.
Oh, yeah. A big part of Turkey is on that area. So a lot of the great Mediterranean signature items that everybody says, you know, falafel, gyro, shawarma, that's all from that area. So Levant is based on the Latin word leaven, which is the term for raising bread. You have leavened bread or yep. leavened donuts.
That's incidentally, levain is the term for the like a starter.
See, there you go. Starter. You're on your way.
Yeah.
Anyway, so when you were a Roman emperor and you're sitting with your pillars and your gorgeous chair and your wife's probably naked in the pool swimming around with fig leaves.
Sure.
And you're eating grapes and drinking wine. You're looking at the sunrise after your big party and you say, wow, that's the Levant because mm-hmm. that's the area of the Mediterranean that they ran.
Sure.
That the sun rose. So that's the region.
Huh.
So there you go.
Huh.
And the word persists in French. Or David du Soleil.
There you go.
David.
You can come in and be our manager.
There you go. I'll just come in and be like.
Just talk French.
Eh, voilà. C'est David du Soleil. Et après.
You don't even have to say anything sensical. They'll just be like, no, oh, my God, your accent's
so. Put on an affectation and muddle through. That's all I do for us.
We're also featuring scratch-made desserts that are going to knock your socks right off. We're actually going to do a little promo where people almost – like a late happy hour where people can come in and just have coffee
yes.
or spiked coffee.
Thank you. And this is the best time of day to have desserts.
Yeah,
I never
we used
want
to walk around
full.
In Connecticut. There was always like an Italian pastry shop that served cappuccino, and
yeah,
you could get like what do they call those? Little cannolis.
Right. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've mentioned this on the podcast before, but my grandmother has this great tradition of doing pie in the morning of Thanksgiving.
Nice.
Like for breakfast, everybody comes and has pie and coffee because you're too full to enjoy it afterwards. So, I mean, it's just a day of blown calories anyway. So you start with the pie and then that afternoon. And I love that.
We always did it the day after.
Right. That too is good. That too is good. Yeah, awesome. Totally.
I mean, how much worse is it than like all the pastries you're going to jam in your face anyway.
Just eat
some
on
brand.
Yeah. Thing. Yeah.
But if they're made from scratch, then it's worth it. That's the whole thing today, you know.
And I get that's the thing about a lot of gluten-free stuff. Sounds like you've got some stuff that's going to be banging, but it's like it's not worth the calories to me to eat something that's like – it's like I just eat
– you
know, I could go and eat some granola, which I'll enjoy.
Have an ice cream or
piece
something.
Of wood that's got some sprinkles on it.
Yeah, we're doing a gluten-free tiramisu I was telling you about where it's homemade whipped mascarpone. It's got five liquors. It's got Madeira, dark rum, spot check. Let's see. Kahlua. What's that tea something?
Oh,
chocolate.
Yeah.
Creme de coco, maybe it was actually.
Yeah, sure.
Creme de coco and then espresso coffee. And then we dunk these gluten-free cookies in it and layer it with whipped cream and a real dark, rich cocoa powder on layers.
Hungry.
And melts in your mouth. I mean, literally. And, you know.
Starving.
Me too. I know. I'm actually hungry.
Yeah. I'm actually rabid.
We're not open until June, so you're going to have to go somewhere else.
Yeah, I'll have to go somewhere else and just, I guess, eat. Well, we've got a pork roast in the pot, in the Instant Pot. It'll be fine, which is good too.
Yeah.
You know?
We also like to feature game. That's always been a thing for me. Is, game meats are very healthy. People don't realize that. My wife and I actually made a little card we pass out, 7 reasons why you should eat buffalo instead of beef. It's good for so many things. It's hard to imagine, you know. That people don't eat it more often.
Different cholesterol, different like.
There's a chemical or an enzyme rather in buffalo that actually gives you more energy and it lowers your cholesterol levels. So it's like twice.
Double whammy.
A good thing for you. It's also buffalo's, well, one other thing. Game meats, you're not allowed to use any steroids, any whatever. Additives, growth hormones, all those things. You're not allowed to use those for any kind of game. So any kind of game, lamb, buffalo, whatever, it's always better. Also, buffalo is a pasture-eating animal. So they eat the grass and the rest of the stuff that comes from a buffalo becomes very biological. It's very healthy for your environment where cattle eat foreign wheat, and those things are not good. They don't digest, and they're not good for your area. So you end up – I know I like steak. I'm not saying cows are horrible. I'm just saying you can enjoy buffalo or or wild boar or lamb and really support your environment.
I think one of the big things that people miss about that is like if you've been working in restaurants, you know how to cook. You know not to just throw a goose in the oven in the way that you would treat a chicken.
Yeah.
You know, because it's not going to come off very well. But if you know how to treat game, whatever type, it can be really, really nice.
And some of it's easier than you think. Like,
well, I think wild boar is so good. It's like speaks for itself.
It is. We used to do wild boar meatballs and we'll bring those back, serve them in our – we have a homemade harissa. We make like a harissa broth. It almost tastes like a birria taco type thing. You know, you dip your meatballs in it. It's really fun. But we're doing a Marsala braised buffalo. And when I was talking to you about the beef bourguignon, it's basically the same thing. You're doing a braise. So you're slow cooking buffalo chuck in Marsala and, you know, a natural demi-glace, which is like a brown stock. And, you know, carrots and onions and garlic and all that. And then we're serving it with our homemade gnocchi on a gorgonzola sauce. So you get this great combo between like slightly sweet Marsala wine with a tangy kind of blue cheese gnocchi. And the gnocchi, by the way, is gluten-free too.
Sounds like you're pulling out all the stops.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty
thrilled. Well, I have to also shout out Chef Larry, who was willing to step in and help with some dishes that supported my son's school's parent-teacher conferences night. We were looking for some donations for the food and had some corporate restaurants pull out last minute, and Larry stepped in and helped provide
Bucky's
food for that.
Bucky's wouldn't give food.
Bucky's wasn't in. So we're super excited to have you as part of the Longmont community, especially downtown. This is a much-needed cuisine, and I
that's
think
what we're
a
hoping
huge
for.
Addition.
It seems – I mean, there's a lot of restaurants that serve a gyro on top of their whatever else they serve, but – we're making our flatbread from scratch. We're making our sauces from scratch. We're using local farm tomatoes and local farm-grown lettuces. Obviously, we can't do that in the winter, but as best we can, we do that. And last summer, we were already talking to people at the fair, the food fair, the farmers festival, and we got a lot of contacts for that. And you know, some of those ingredients, like you taste arugula from the farm, it's a whole different vegetable.
Whole different vegetable.
I feel the way I grew up with it tasting, where it was like peppery and little tart, and you know, makes a
celery.
Great
celery from the garden.
Yeah, so it'll be really exciting, and we'll do festivals. We'll do art festivals with my wife. We'll have plein air painting, which is an old term for people painting a painting of the area they're sitting in live. Goes back to old France from after the Revolution, French Revolution. When they were only allowed to paint paintings of priests and kings. That literally was the law. You were not allowed to paint anything of peasants or normal people. So these – the Renoirs in the, of the world and those guys would take a train out of town in Paris and they'd jump off the train in somewhere in the country and they'd put their seat down and they'd just start painting something that they're looking at. And that's where a lot of those paintings come from. So that's what we do. We're doing these plein air paintings where people from the art community come in and they'll just paint on site. And it's just fun. Sometimes we'll sell the paintings or auction them off and use the proceeds for the local art guild, you know, and to help support them, you know. So it's just – it's fun. It's healthy. It's a different activity.
Absolutely.
Make sure you rock your takeout game for the Longmont family community around here.
Absolutely. Yeah, 100%. I'll admit to being like, oh man, it's way too hard right now. If I could just go and – I was kind of traumatized in 300 Sun Stop. I used to be able to call in like, can't do that anymore.
We're going to have homemade flatbread pizzas, which are great to go. They're – although they don't have an eternal shelf life like the manufactured food does. So
it's all right.
You gotta take them home and eat them. But they're really good.
Awesome. Well, thank you. I think we have to wrap it up, but thank you for coming on, Larry, for the time, and we'll definitely be watching closely as the doors get ready to be
opened. We'll have you do a live broadcast from the restaurants.
That's right. Sweet.
There we go.
Sweet. Nice. We'll do the
And you can listen to them chew on food while they talk.
Exactly. Clinking like silverware. Ting, ting, ting. All right. Well, we thank Andy Epler and David Cutter Music for our intro and outro music. And hit us up at sidedishlongmont@gmail.com if you have any listener mail. And we will see you April 4th, 5:30 p.m. at Dryland Distillery.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.